Welcome to the Star Wars Brothers Podcast. I'm Cliff Boyd, and I'm here with John Boyd.
Welcome.
And Drew Shepard.
I'm here.
All right. Drew, you just woke up. How was that nap?
Not long enough.
Okay. For our listeners, we record pretty late, and so sometimes Drew takes a nap beforehand. So while me and John wrangle our minions, trying to get ready in time. Drew's always here on time. Me and John delay it every single night. So pretty much by anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes. Tonight was closer to 20 probably because of me. So that's okay.
Thank goodness new, for the Drew? Snooze.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. 11 o'clock came. There was no text. I said, well, this ain't happening. I heard snooze once and we'll see. So.
Okay.
All right. So we went back. We talked about this last week or maybe 2 weeks. Yeah. We went back to Epcot to ride Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
We go through the pre-show. We get on the ride.
Yeah.
They lock us in. And then Amy freaks out. She's like, I have got to get off this ride.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she's like panicking, like almost full-blown panic attack. She's so nervous. And she gets off. We go in the waiting area because, you know, we went with Kristen and Billy because they had the pass holder preview too.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said, I'll see how Kristen likes it. Kristen walks up the stairs and she's screaming at Billy. She's like, Billy, you told me I could do that ride. That was the worst ride in the world. I hate you. And everyone behind them like can hear her on the tram, and they're all busting a gut laughing at her getting on to Billy the whole way out of the building.
Oh, that's funny.
And I'm very glad I did not go on this ride.
Okay. All right. Well, that's kind of sad. My hopes for Shauna are waning, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Because she'll probably talk to them and find out what they thought, and I doubt they'll beat her around the bush.
Oh no!
Mm-mm. Oh well, I've given up that fight. Well, if Sean didn't want to go on something, I just roll my eyes and accept it.
There's only been 2,000 other people that have gone on today and been safe, but you know, you could be the one.
Exactly, so. Exactly. It's like, why? What are you worried about? And you know, well, I'm going to try to get Luke to go on it with me, regardless, whenever he's tall enough, because I just think he'll love it. Even if it's a little bit scary, he's going to want to go on it because it's the freaking Guardians of the Galaxy.
So, yeah, it's fun.
So that's going to be fun. Yeah.
And then tried out the New Connections Cafe for dinner. That was real good. So.
Ooh, yeah, it was good. Okay. Yeah. We've been talking about it like it's great. So
we got a General Tso's chicken salad.
I saw that.
And then a French bistro burger, which was a burger with brie cheese and bacon on it. And we just split it half and half, and both were really good.
The brie cheese and bacon sounds incredible. Yeah. And I like general. Is it Sal? So?
So. Hey, yeah, I think it's so.
Tiso?
Tiso. Soul? I don't know.
General. Maybe Amy would know. We should ask Amy.
It's funny you actually say that because one of my friends,
Amy is part Chinese. What percent Chinese?
A quarter.
A quarter Chinese. Okay.
Yeah.
I always forget if it's a quarter or an eighth.
No. Yeah. It's a quarter. One of my friends did the China Now program for 2 years.
Oh, okay.
And when he came back, he was telling me all about it. And one of the things he said was, you know, the General Tso's chicken, nobody has a clue who that is over there. Said, what? He said, you say it. They're like, yeah, I think I've heard of that person before. Like, that sounds vaguely familiar, but everyone in America knows General Tso's chicken. But you go to China, I was like, what? Yeah, maybe I've heard of that name. So.
Cool. Speaking of Epcot, I've got a couple concerts I've gone to lately at Epcot, which has been fun. That garden, what is it called again? Flower and Garden Festival's going on. So went and saw Toby Mac and then went and saw Mercy Me. And yeah, it was pretty fun. I liked Toby Mac better. You know, prior to hearing them live, I kind of had this impression of Toby Mac that it's just kind of rinse and repeat, generic, blah, blah, blah. And maybe it is, I don't know, but after seeing them perform, I gained a whole lot of respect for them. They were awesome live. And I felt their artistry seemed way more unique than I had previously remembered. On the other hand, went and saw Mercy Me, and this on for that I took Luke. Shauna didn't go on that. Go with me there. I forget why. She had her state, one of her women's small groups with church that she didn't want to miss. It's important for her to always make sure she's there for those important everything that's going on there. So she wasn't able to go to the Mercy Me with me, but I took Luke, just Luke, not Clara. And Mercy Me, I felt a little bit more of that generic, you know, whatever from. And that's funny because I've, you know, I kind of like Mercy Me in general, at least the one song everybody knows. Right. Really like that song. And some of their other stuff I've appreciated as well over the years. But they were way less unique than Toby Mac. And yeah, they're not really meant to be compared. But since we've been, Luke has now. He's now a huge Mercy Me fan. He just loves Mercy Me and wants to play them all the time. So that's been kind of cool. Just that, you know, we did that together and that now that's a big interest for him. It's been kind of fun. What's going on with you, John?
So I'm just super busy with work stuff mainly right now.
Okay.
Just busy time. I've got three inventories next week. And I've talked about them on here before, but
yeah,
super time consuming. Leading up to them and then actually going through them. So
yeah, have to count each product on each shelf.
Every
sure matches what's in the book.
Every
stick of gum
in the store has to be counted. Correct. Every piece of candy at every register. Right. Everything and it's got to be done in.
I was kind of joking. Is that really what happens? Like y'all literally go through and count everything?
So we don't, but we hire a. Inventory counting crew to come in and do it.
Oh,
we have to have the store ready for that.
Sure.
And then my a lot of my yearly bonus and raise and everything is based off of if they count enough. So
right, because that's how they figure out what the loss is, right?
Correct.
Huh, okay. And now there's a certain amount of loss that you just you know assume is going to be the case, right? It's probably some kind of threshold that you need to meet or whatever per store based on averages.
And they've actually raised all of those this year just because mainly inflation is really driving that up and just a tough year. So
Yeah. Right. Get any more delivery men fired for stealing, you know, donuts or Little Debbie's, John? No, you don't have to share anything.
I've got some stuff going on, but not for this podcast.
Yeah, of course. I love to hear those stories.
For the other podcast we do.
I always have a tinge of aw, but those poor guys, I mean, they're stealing, so what do you expect?
Yeah.
So you get what you
we did
get what you sign up for. It's not like you need crisp, you know, it's not like you need honey buns to survive off of. Right.
We did have a Dr. Pepper driver get in a fight with another truck driver.
Wow. Okay.
Like a real, like legit fight. They were mad at each other for how they were backing up into their spots. And one of them jumped up on the Dr. Pepper jumped up on the other guy's truck and kept calling him bro. And the guy said, stop calling me bro. And he kept calling him bro. And then on the video, a fist just comes out of the truck. Gets knocked back and he gets out and just pounds him for a little bit.
Oh, man. Oh, no. That's not funny. That's terrible.
The guy's like 6.5 feet tall. Like,
I mean, the fist coming out of nowhere is like kind of funny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a great video. They're in trouble. So.
Oh yeah. Sometimes I get on these spirals of, for a while I was watching like prison documentaries, like here's what happens inside of a prison. And it's just like, oh, what am I watching? I can't believe this. And for some reason I've got like this guilt that like, oh wait, maybe I'm going to end up in prison someday. And you know, then I'll have to figure out, like, I empathize with the people, you know, and so it's like, what would I do in prison? And it's terrible. It's a terrible thing to do. And then a few weeks ago, I did this same kind of thing, but it was police videos. I was just like watching, there's this, it's kind of a pro police. They're showing good police interactions, right?
Right.
Where, you know, there's a lot of press out there, bad police interactions, and rightly so. There needs to be exposure on that stuff, and it needs to be clamped down on. Yeah, you and I have talked about that a lot in the past, John. But there's also a lot of good. The majority of cops are probably pretty good folks, right? And so there's a channel out there that just kind of will show you these really good cop interactions where, you know, it's like a cop that comes in and has to kick a lady out of a store, but she was just trying to steal gloves because she was trying to stay warm. And the cop buys her the gloves and it's real nice to her the whole time, you know, even though he's having to, you know, bar her from the store from then on. It's not that big a deal. It's not like it's going to change her life, but just a gesture of kindness throughout all that instead of just treating people like, but you tell me those stories about your theft and I can't help but just like empathize with unknown situations. You got a hard job.
Well,
John,
it wasn't long ago. Now I don't have to deal with that as personal as I used to, unless it's a pretty big internal theft. But there was a woman that got caught stealing recently at the store close to me, and her mom, well, no, the mom was blaming the kid for everything. The kid's sitting there. It was awful. And the kid started crying because we don't let them purchase anything once they're caught stealing, right?
Yeah.
Whatever you purchased, you can keep, but you don't get to, ooh, I want to go pay for it now. Well, it's too late.
Yeah.
And this kid was upset because she couldn't get her dress that the mom was stealing to go to some function like the next day, right? So real, real sad. But the AP manager at the store went ahead and bought it for her. And so stuff like that's pretty cool.
That's not that kid's fault. That poor kid growing up in a situation like that. Man.
That, you know, the parent blaming that kid, which obviously wasn't the kid. But then for them to buy the kid the clothes, you know, stuff like that's cool. So I didn't used to do stuff like that. I was just like, oh man, that's bad. You know, that's terrible. And I guess my mind just didn't go to, I'm going to buy this for this kid now. Unfortunately, I wish it did, but anyways. Yeah. But now I was looking while Drew was talking about General So.
Do you find out who he is?
And yeah, he was a general in the Chinese Civil War in the 1800s.
Ooh, okay.
So, but Cliff, here's what I'm thinking, and Drew. So, if
so we start calling it General Lee Chicken.
Well, what if we had General Lee Chicken or like General Sherman Chicken or like Ulysses S. Grant Chicken?
Give me chicken, though. It's got to be turkey. Mm. It's got to be like turkey or something.
Well,
you know?
Well, half the country would be offended and not eat it.
That's
so
true.
Maybe you were in the wrong part of China and they were like,
you're right.
I don't know. Don't talk about that around here.
We don't
here.
Teach that part of the generals.
John, anytime I burn chicken, cook it too long, I'm going to call it General Sherman Chicken from now on. Oh, every time I burn chicken, because that's what he did. He went through and burned.
Yeah, his march to the sea where he burned all the towns and crops. So,
I don't want to get into the Civil War. I hate war.
Fine.
What a terrible time of our history. Thank goodness.
I cook chicken and it's so bad and I start cussing it so bad, I'll call it Patton Chicken.
Patton Chicken. I had a movie that I watched. Drew, you didn't go to this. I was hoping you would go to this one. Is the one about the Vikings?
The Northmen.
The Northmen. Yeah. Watch the Northmen, and it was it was a very dark, depressing movie. The whole time, like my big takeaway from it was just, I am so glad I was not born as a Viking in 895 AD because that would really suck. I tell you, there's no amount of therapy that could bring a Viking back from that lifestyle. I don't think. Yeah, maybe there is. There's some pretty good therapists out there probably. But Man, ugh, what a miserable existence so many people in history have had and still have today. It just kind of made me empathize. Because that movie is just about a bunch of terrible people. You know, they kind of have a hero in it, like a protagonist, I guess I should say, not so much a hero, but like part of the movie, he's like raiding towns and killing people and burning up children. And then like, he's still your protagonist, you know?
Yeah.
It's terrible. Just like, man, I can't believe stuff like this happens. And it struck me like, how can a person do that and not care about the people that, you know, that are suffering? And then I think a lot of that stuff still happens today. You know, I don't want to get maybe much into it, but current events, there's some just terrible things that are still happening even now in this world where people just somehow
don't care.
You get to a point where you just don't treat other humans like humans anymore, you know, and you just desensitize yourself, I guess, from compassion for others. It's really a scary thing that humans are capable of such things. I have a hard time understanding it.
Well, I also just realized that I have a really dirty shirt on. I know our listeners can't see that, but y'all can. Because I was working.
I can. I'm on my iPhone tonight. So you're really, really tiny.
I'm really tiny. So it's a little tiny. It's supposed to be a white shirt. It's kind of brown, but doing some work as soon as I got home in the yard. So sorry for.
Man's man doing yard work, Force Podcast.
That's right.
Enough time to change shirts.
The family.
We're busy getting dirty outside.
Well, you know. God,
I pay somebody to mow my lawn.
I wasn't.
I don't remember the last time.
I was digging up pipes. And,
oh, okay. You know, like actually worse. Man's man work.
Right.
Not even mowing, right?
But.
What I said just now is probably offensive. Women can mow lawns too. So.
Oh yeah, Jessica more than me.
Yeah.
So that's why the belt flew off the mower yesterday.
Yeah, and can dig up pipes and all that. So.
Yeah.
Pardon my toxic masculinity there. Did not mean to imply that my wife can't take out the garbage herself.
For our listeners out there who would like to write in related to this topic,
let's move on. No, I don't think any of that. I'm okay with anybody doing anything. It's fine. Y'all just figure that out amongst yourselves. Hopefully I don't offend one of our six listeners, one of which is me. So
right.
Of course I know him. He's me. It's time to address the situation.
Oh man.
So, John, you brought something up about our crew. They are a little bit too overpowered for Middle Earth. And just to fill our listeners in that are first time listeners here, and I know we don't have any, but I'll do it anyway. We are tasked with replacing the Fellowship, who was killed by the Balrog, with Star Wars characters by the Watcher in that universe. And we've submitted our request, but he, like John, has come to the realization that we have created such an imbalance that the very fabric of Middle Earth is at stake. It should not be this easy to destroy the One Ring. And it's going to be because in our lineup, as a reminder, we have Frodo being replaced by Crosshair, Sam being replaced by Wrecker from the Bad Batch, Mary being replaced by QT Katie from the Clone Wars, the pink droid from the D Squad, Pippin being replaced by Hondo from the Clone Wars. Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't know QT Katie? I guess that clarification was not required there. So I apologize if I insulted your Star Wars intelligence. We've got Aragorn that's been replaced by Kylo Ren, Legolas replaced by Captain Phasma, Gimli being replaced by General Hux, Boromir, Quinlan Vos, and Gandalf, Obi-Wan Kenobi. This team is about to go dominate Middle Earth, and that cannot be because the struggle to destroy the One Ring is necessary for the stability, the balance of Middle Earth. We have disturbed the balance between light and dark irreparably if we carry this through without some additional effort here. And so this is what we have now been tasked with doing. The Watcher is going to have us make three additional replacements. One will be for Gollum. One will be for Saruman. And the other will be Sauron himself. We've got to pull some folks over from the Star Wars universe to replace these three. They can come from anywhere in the Star Wars universe. We don't have to pull from any specific era. But the one stipulation that you must follow is that they must come from different eras, basically, of the Star Wars universe. So you can't pull all three from the original trilogy. You can't pull two from the prequels and one from the sequel. You can't pull all three. You know, you can't pull all three from the Clone Wars or from whatever. You've got to have one from each, basically, era of Star Wars. So I didn't give you that rule ahead of time because I kind of wanted to, you know, I just wanted your gears to turn uninhibited this afternoon. I gave you all a little bit of a heads up about some of this afternoon, at least of the three that you were going to be replacing. So, John, who do you want to start with here?
I think Gollum. I think Gollum is the obvious choice here.
All right. Who are we going to replace? Who's going to be our new Smeagol?
So because you said it needed to, you know, have some more, I've got more than one, and we may end up needing to discuss more than one.
Yeah, the key here is that they provide some balance to the situation. So you've got to think here, you've got a Sith, you've got two very capable generals, you've got a corrupt, you know, no holds barred smuggler pirate, basically, and you've got two Jedi and two altered clones. I mean, you're going to have to make some pulls here.
I think I'm actually not going to go with the first one. I just like the whole Gollum aspect. I'm going to go with General Grievous.
General Grievous as Gollum.
Correct.
Okay.
Mainly because of his thirst, not for the ring, but for lightsabers. And if there's some lightsabers out there in Middle Earth, that may drive him to go after his precious.
Yes. And I can see how he would maybe create minimal disturbance because of his similarity to Gollum, right?
Right. He crawls around and, you know.
He's got a cough, right?
He does. He has the cough. Like, you know.
Right. Right. And Drew, who'd you come up with for Gollum?
So similar to John's thought process, I went with some physical and emotional attributes of Gollum. And with that, I went with Spider-Maul.
Spider-Maul. Okay. Spider-Maul.
Because he's a little bit crazy talking to himself.
Okay, yeah. All right, buried down in a cave there.
Buried down in a cave, that's right.
Wow, yeah, okay. Okay.
So, and he has his one goal, and that is to kill Obi-Wan.
I like it. Those are both very interesting picks. I think power level's probably sufficient for this particular role. Obviously, we see Maul contend with Obi-Wan all the time. At the end of the day, they do need to be able to be defeatable. Both of them, I think, are, right? I think this is, I think those are two really great options. Drew, who do you want to go with next? Which Lord of the Rings character do you want to select next?
Let's go with Saruman.
Saruman. All right. The White Wizard.
And for the White Wizard, there really was only one option for me. I mean, I think it has to be Count Dooku.
Okay.
If for no other reason than the fact that Count Dooku, Christopher Lee, plays both characters. there's a lot going there.
That's true.
But also in the sense of Count Dooku, his thirst for power, Saruman, his thirst for power, have them turn to the opposite side in order to gain new knowledge, to gain new powers. So.
Right. And you know, of course, there's going to be a throwdown specifically between the White Wizard and Gandalf, right? Like we've got to have that throwdown. Although, has that already occurred? I guess that's already occurred, hasn't it? I don't know. We can pretend like it hasn't. Yeah. Either way, there's definitely a Gandalf Saruman fight, right? No, that hasn't occurred. He didn't get killed till later on, right? And I think isn't it the Ents show up with Merry and Pippin, and then maybe remember it got flooded. They flood the city, and then at the beginning of the third movie, maybe they show up, or the end of the second movie, they show up. And I don't remember all the details, but yeah.
He jumps off and the eagle catches him.
Oh, that's Gandalf.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
He jumps off.
He's been put up there by.
No, you're getting mixed up. Gandalf, yeah, Gandalf was put up there by Saruman. Yes, that's right.
So that would have happened when he was still gray, not white.
That's true, but he didn't get killed until after the Ents flood the city and all that goes down, which I believe is the end of is that the end of Two Towers, maybe?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Sorry,
Star Maybe it's the Wars end fans. Of the first one. Star Lord of the Rings fans. But yeah, okay. So you got to think about that. John, who's your pick for...
So my number one pick was also Dooku. I mean, it was... But
you have a problem.
Is Pong.
Who?
Pong.
P-O-N-G?
Yeah.
Who's Pong?
Pong Krail.
Who's Pong? Are you kidding? Should I know this?
Pong. He was in the Clone Wars. He was the guy that, like, he was doing really bad things with the clones, like basically sending them on suicide missions. And it turned out he was actually bad. He was a Jedi.
Forearm dude.
He had four arms.
Oh, that was Pong. He's a cool Pong pick. Crew. Yeah, he's a cool pick too. He's a good backup. Now, again, you both of your original picks for Gollum are prequel trilogy.
No.
Introduced.
No, Spider-Maul is not introduced.
Oh, in the prequel good trilogy. Point. Good point. So if you go with Spider-Maul, you can use Dooku. But if you go with.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. I think that's a lot, because Spider-Maul is a specific iteration of the Maul character. Even though Maul was introduced before, Spider-Maul is a very specific pull. So I think that works. Okay. So you've got to basically, if you go with Spider-Maul, then you can use Dooku, right? If you go with Grievous, then you got to look at.
So.
The other.
Correct.
Pong. All right.
Or we could go with one Dooku more. And my backup for Gollum, which is Asajj.
Okay. All right. Yeah. She works for him as well.
Because of kind of the conflict she goes through.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
But okay. But yeah. But I really like the, right now I'm leaning more towards Spider-Maul and Dooku myself.
Okay. All right. Okay. Got one more. The one, the only, Sauron, the Dark Lord himself.
Yeah.
And who's it going to be?
So I've got, I have two, right?
Okay. Did you do two for any of them, Drew, or you just kind of got your one main one?
I just have my one main one.
Well, your one. Okay. Let's hear them.
So for,
why don't you give your main one, and we'll let Drew give his main one, and then you can let us know your backup.
So, how about that? So Vader is my main
one. Okay. All right.
Because of
he's very dark
fighting style,
right?
And his because when Sauron takes the form of a person, right? Mm-hmm. Not just the eye. When he is fighting, he kind of reminds me of Vader, you know?
Yeah, right. Kind of stiff movements, right. A little bit. Yeah,
stiff move with the sword, you know, but very powerful.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You see Sauron take like one swing and a bunch of guys go flying.
Right.
Kind of the Vader same very powerful aspect.
It would be cool to see an edit of the introduction to the Fellowship of the Ring with Darth Vader edited in.
There's probably one.
That'd be really cool. But done really well, you know, where they actually go in there and do the work and fully replace Vader. That'd be awesome.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah. But yeah, Vader's my pick.
Okay, I like it. I like it. Yeah. Very dark. John, do you not think there's going to be an issue with, because there's, I mean, Sauron is pure evil, right? Darth Vader still has good in it.
Depends on what point in time we're pulling Vader from, I think. Okay.
And you don't have Luke to pull him out of it either. So maybe Luke has not been used. So he may be a safe bet since you didn't put Luke on the Fellowship.
And let's say we pull Vader from, episode 4. Or even because it'd be depending on what time you pulled him out, right? Depending on what time the Watcher pulled him out.
Or the Rogue One Vader.
That's what I was actually thinking. Rogue One Vader is probably not like turning good.
No.
Like even if Luke showed up in the hall and was like, "I'm your son," he would have still killed him like immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty brutal at that point in time for sure. So, okay. Yeah. I like that. Drew, who's your pick?
I went with Palpatine.
Okay. Yep.
I mean, it seemed like the obvious choice before I knew the different rules that we were going to have to go through.
Sure.
I mean, the ultimate evil cares only about himself and ruling everything and everyone. So,
but do you not think Palpatine is too powerful? Which version of Palpatine? Are we talking like sequel trilogy Palpatine? Are we talking
original trilogy Palpatine?
Well, no, because the original trilogy is just a clone of Palpatine. The real Palpatine we don't meet until the sequel trilogy.
Allegedly.
So are we talking real Palpatine, like hooked up to his metal thing? Right? Or are we talking original trilogy Palpatine?
I guess original trilogy.
Palpatine. Or are we talking prequel Senator Palpatine?
No.
I mean, if I could pick Clone Wars Palpatine, because his fight with Maul in Savage was so stinking cool.
Yeah. Clone Wars Palpatine. That would work. That would work. Sort of an in between 2 and 3 Palpatine. We're kind of bending the rules, but it's fine. You know, I guess if you're pulling from a specific version, it's okay. So
he was my second just because of the whole.
Okay.
All-seeing, manipulative.
You know. Right. The all-seeing eye. Yeah. He definitely plays a very similar role. So I think there is a concern about him being too strong, too powerful. You don't have Rey.
And, that's true.
You know, without Rey, can you really even defeat Palpatine?
Do we need to rethink
Do you even need to defeat Palpatine? Because the objective here is not to destroy the Dark Lord. The objective here is to destroy the ring. And you just need this, you need there to be a struggle to destroy the ring. Cause if you think about it, had the Fellowship stood up against, Sauron, it wouldn't have stood a chance. Right. But
yeah, I'm afraid
the ring as the objective. Who? Palpatine.
They'd show up to throw it in and he'd be like, do it.
All right. Let's hear the final pick. Y'all. Gotta make some final decisions here.
I'm good with Spider-Maul for Gollum.
Spider-Maul for Gollum. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I guess that means that Christopher Lee is our multiverse Dooku / Saruman. And then who's going to be our Dark Lord?
Let's go with Vader. I think that makes more sense.
Okay.
And I really like the visual of Vader. Like slashing, that's really cool. So,
all right. Well, we will do that and hope that it's sufficient to accomplish what needs to be accomplished without causing any incursions.
Yeah, I kind of hope it all completely fails and the Watcher just gives up.
I don't know, John. Very fabric of all realities, then maybe it's at risk. I don't know if we want to. Hobbit on a Palpatine in our universe. So.
Yeah, that's true.
We're in a different multiverse.
That's true. All right. talk about these episodes. I'm going to go one at a time, sort of. I'm going to do kind of like we did before, where I do the first one, I do the second one, and then I do the last two.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So the first one, called Infested, we've got a man named Roland, who's a devil horn character. Just a human with devil horns and a red face, basically. I think it's red. I'm colorblind. You guys can tell me if he's not red, but I think he's red.
I don't think he was red, was he?
I think he was orange.
Orange?
Or okay. Green? Well, was he greenish?
Orange is red, right? Green?
What was his...
What color is Roland? Right in. Star Wars Brothers podcast. Did you? Okay, fine. Anyway, Roland, he's got these devil horns, and the Bad Batch shows up only to discover that he has ousted Sid.
Oh,
yeah. And has begun smuggling cocaine for the Pikes.
He's green.
Yeah, good call, John.
He's green. Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
Green shell or red shell?
Green shell or red shell. That's what you're there for, John. That's why I need you. That's why I need you in my life. Help me with the greens and the reds. Anyway, he is smuggling for the Pikes, drugs. And so Sid shows up and decides she's going to get the Bad Batch to help steal his cocaine so that when the Pikes show up to collect, they are ticked off and they eliminate him. In the process of doing that, they end up dropping the containers of spice down this big bug cavern. And then the Pikes discover what's happening when they show up and basically hold Omega hostage until they get their spice. So the Bad Batch goes in to get the spice. They have to rappel down this cavern to retrieve it. And they are able to do so despite the fact that they get attacked by these monster bugs that have infested this cavern and are, I guess, really sensitive to noise. But they end up, instead of killing Roland, they just cut off one of his devil horns. Did you guys get anything out of this one?
Yeah. I found it kind of ironic given what we're doing. Because I think one of the lines they said was, "We dug too deep. They dug too deep.
We dug too deep."
Yeah, for Lord of the Rings.
The Balrog.
Oh.
And
yeah.
Drop the flashlight. And
right.
Why are you doing it? I was like, this is hilarious. This is what we're doing.
You fools.
I just found a bunch of, I mean, maybe because of those first two things, I just saw, you know, those
saw the parallels. And yeah. John, what'd you think?
Yeah. I mean, as far as the episode itself, I mean, there's some neat aspects of it. I actually liked the whole infested thing.
Okay.
I wasn't a huge fan of Greenhorn, whatever his name was. What's his name?
Roland.
Duran.
Roland. Yeah.
Rowan Duran, yeah, wasn't a huge fan of his character.
Okay.
I felt like with him being like a crime leader, I don't know. I felt like he gave Omega a little too much talking time for his hardened criminal as he should have been.
Okay. All right. Yeah, they kind of have a heart-to-heart in there at some point, don't they? So
yeah.
But he wasn't like a top dog criminal. He was just like a guy trying to make a name for himself that got a little following and bolstered enough strength to oust Sid for a little bit. Obviously, yeah. He didn't last long. So I didn't really get anything out of this. I felt like it was completely throwaway and unnecessary. And I feel like that's been true of a lot of this series. This is sort of just, you know, a reminder that this probably could have been anywhere from like 8 to 10 episodes instead of 16. Maybe even now, less.
I will say I do like seeing the Pikes.
Okay. Yeah.
And I hope they are integrated into live action at some point.
Yeah, sure. I guess we haven't seen really any cool live action Pikes, have we?
No, and I think it'd be really cool if we do. Or have we? Have we in
the Mandalorian? I don't
think
sorry.
So.
In Book of Boba Fett?
Yeah,
Book of Boba Fett. Are they in Book of, yeah, they're in Book of Boba Fett. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess they did.
I was going to say Mandalorian, but no.
Right. What about the Black Sun? Do you want to see some live action Black Sun?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I don't care as much about them.
I want to see anything live action that we've already seen in anything animated, as long as they do a good job with it.
All right,
because I get really excited when I see that, because I'm like, other people think this is cool, but I have some inside knowledge that they don't have because they refuse to watch Star Wars cartoons like I used to.
All right. We'll get that. What's that Jabba character's name with all the paint on him? Get him in live action.
As long as he gets gutted.
No, he's already, I mean, it would have to be a live action adaptation. Zero. Yeah. Yeah. Or how about the monocle, the monocle hut? You want to get the monocle hut in there?
As long as,
John, you don't want this. I think you spoke too soon there without thinking through the implications of your anything statement.
I think, I don't know. I think if they do it good.
We don't want Monocle Hutt in live action. We want to forget Zero existed.
Maybe not a speaking part. But if I see them in there at some point,
just kind of see his tail slither away at some point in a flashback. Or
even referred to, right? Just to continue drawing the connections.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Like, I'm not sure if I can fully support that desire, but
maybe the Book of Boba Fett, the twin, that's maybe that is their father.
Maybe
Monocle Hutt.
Okay.
What's his actual name?
I don't know.
If they refer to him,
the Monocle Hutt,
the Hutt.
Or if like you see those two again and they've got like that monocle framed on the wall or something, maybe
it's something.
Oh, okay. That must be their dad. Some
reference to them, right?
Right. All right. Maybe a reference, very vague, distant reference is about all I'll accept from Zero or Monocle to Hutt.
Zero. Yeah. You're,
or what about the mom, right. the mom thing? Remember? Where he goes
in. That was so weird.
Yeah. Oh.
Or maybe if there's some like East wearing a robe made out of the monocle skin or something.
Yeah. Ooh, something. Okay. Yeah. Zero's skin, maybe.
Zero's skin. Cause that one,
cause that's iconic. You can tell that was Zero's.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're stuff, right? Crossover stuff.
Okay. All right. So the fact that the Pikes appeared was enough for you. Wasn't enough for me. I didn't hate the episode. I mean, it's fine to watch. I just wanted, you know, I just felt like it was, didn't add anything. It didn't help me understand any of the characters better. It didn't, it was just like, oh, here's a cool little side story. Kind of like that you might adapt to like the Golden Book. Something that's completely throwaway, but that takes what you know about the characters and tells a cute little story about them. So
I did think it was probably a little unbelievable that they even left,
Omega with them, with the Pikes. Like, they could have taken those Pikes out.
They would have definitely killed them. You know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Kind of like when the odds are called out against the Mandalorian, right? Din Djarin, and he just kills everybody in the room. They'd be something similar to that.
Yeah.
Knowing them.
And it was a weird moral. Was
that maybe they were just kind of taking that. We don't want to bring the wrath of the Pikes down upon us, right? We don't want to be enemies of so let's just we can handle getting the spice. That's not that big a deal. Maybe they just read the room and felt like they could handle it.
Maybe.
So, I think they made the right call.
Yeah. Not a great episode for me either.
So, yeah, me neither. What'd you say? What were you about to say, Drew?
I was gonna say it was a weird moral too at the end where Omega was saying, just because he's a not a villain, just because he's a criminal doesn't mean he's a bad person. I'm like,
yeah,
what do you mean? What? Like, okay, right.
That's kind of what we were talking about. Just because somebody steals a honey bun doesn't mean they don't have a family, right?
Like, he only kidnapped you and tried to kill your friends, but he's still not a bad person.
Like, kidnapped you, tried to kill your friends. Right. He's only a drug trafficker. Yeah, you know,
if in the end they're like, syndicate. You know what, we get that you were just trying to work hard, and they bought him a case of spice anyway.
Yeah, there you go. Here, have some spice on us.
Yeah.
Instead of cutting off his horn.
Yeah.
I mean, they did spare his life. They kind of did that, right? Because all indications were he was about to die, and then they cut his horn off instead. So.
Yeah, but Omega kind of defended him, right?
That's true. Yeah. So. Who knows? All right, War Mantle. So Rex gets back in touch with the Bad Batch and they respond to a distress signal. And while they're on this rescue mission on this woodsy planet, Omega gets sent back to the ship with Wrecker and they're going to have to serve as backup. And despite Hunter's promise, right? Because he promised her that he'd never leave her behind. And I guess technically she's on the mission, but obviously they're still being very protective of Omega here. Hunter in particular, very protective of Omega. Well, anyway, they end up rescuing this guy who's a deserter from the secret military base. They have to fight their way out. They're able to do it. They end up getting picked up by Omega and Wrecker. Omega has to fly the ship, and she does a good job with it. And then I guess Tech takes over at one point and kind of finishes it out. He's a, I suppose, their main pilot. Then Hunter ends up falling. So everybody gets out except Hunter. Hunter falls, I mean, like a long way, and somehow survives. I guess he hits some tree branches on the way down, yeah. Right? Slows him down before he hits the ground. But he orders his team to leave him, because if they don't, it's like, you guys are going to die if you don't get out of here now. He gets captured and he is brought to Crosshair, which is where the episode ends. In addition to that, there's a little side plot that's going on with the Kaminoans. Well, the Kaminoan leaders are fearing that they're about to be eliminated from relevance, because all of their contracts are being canceled. And the leaders plot basically to escape. But Omega's scientist lady friend ends up getting caught basically trying to warn people and recruit folks to, you know, to get onto a ship and to get away. She gets caught, but she doesn't get killed. The prime minister presumably, though, does, right? Because he's presumably eliminated permanently. But the scientist is not. And then I'm jumping ahead to the end of the next episode, the little scene we get at the end, but it's sort of the end of this plot line. And there's not really anything else about this in the final two episodes. So at the end of that, she gets taken to a facility where she's escorted inside. And we'll talk about some cool little things there that you may or may not have noticed. But let's start, before we get into that Kaminoan plot, let's talk about, talk just briefly. And it's going to actually, let's talk about the Kaminoan plot first, because I think that other plot just transitions really quickly into that next arc. And we kind of need to discuss all that in totality together. So what'd you think about this little Kaminoan subplot and the evacuation of the scientist, but elimination of all the other, presumably all the other Kaminoans in that facility?
I mean, I think it made sense given what we know about what happens in the future with, you know, the Emperor and just trying to control everyone. If obviously the clones have been a pretty good investment for the Republic, and so,
sure,
you know, don't want to risk anyone else using that technology against him.
There you go.
Smart move on his part.
Yeah, that was the impression I got. And it also mentioned that all the droids were being deactivated, right? It wasn't just that the scientists were being eliminated, but the droids in the next, I think that's actually in the next arc that we find out that all the droids are being deactivated on Kamino. And the other Kaminoans killed. But yeah, did you notice in that facility at the end of that final episode, did you notice the patch on the lady's arm? You probably didn't. I actually saw this referred to after the fact by some video I was watching or something. Well, the patch is the same patch, the patch on the Imperial officer's arm who basically escorts her inside. The patch on her arm is the same patch as the guy who is doing the scientific study on Grogu at the beginning of the Mandalorian series. Same patch. It's like these two lines inside this sort of circled square with a certain color scheme on it. And so they're obviously connected. The cloning technology, right, is important for a lot of reasons in the Star Wars universe. Obviously, we eventually are going to get Palpatine cloning himself, right? And then we have this research being done on Grogu. So like, are they trying to clone Grogu? Is that the objective here? They obviously weren't that worried about preserving his life. It was more just about getting his body in the Mandalorian as far as Grogu is concerned. And so it just, I thought it was cool to kind of see this connection of, yeah, we're going to make sure nobody else in the universe can use this cloning technology, but we're going to make sure that we've got it and that we use it for our own nefarious purposes, to the exclusion of everyone else. Which is interesting. The video that referred to that also mentioned, and I wish I could remember what channel it was that I watched it on. But they also mentioned that it was interesting that the clones, by the time Luke rolls around, are a thing of the past. You know, Luke's like, "Whoa, the clones!" You know, that was a crazy part of history. But it's not like clones are still; they don't still exist, right? That technology is gone. And it was relevant during the war, but then you don't see a bunch of cloning happening after that until we get to basically the sequel trilogy with Palpatine, right? Any other thoughts on that? I thought that was really cool little subplot. There wasn't a lot to it, but it was enough to be like, ooh, yeah, that kind of connects it all.
Yeah, I did like the connection and all there. I guess one thing that I kept thinking about was, why didn't the Kaminoans clone themselves some kind of protection force before it got to here, right? I mean, they were they were dealing with these two corrupt governments, really, right? You would have thought they would have been like, you know, we need to think about this and put our own little army that's ready. I mean,
that's right.
I don't know that the Republic would have been like, no, you can't have your own protection force.
It seems like it's a major oversight on their part.
Or why not put like now execute Order 67, which means protect Kamino.
But give their own extra order in there.
Right. I mean, because they're the ones that put the chips in, right?
Sure.
So why not? But whatever.
As corrupt as they are, maybe they're just honest business people, right?
As
terrible as the clone stuff goes.
I don't know. I don't think they're real honest either. They wanted to just, at least not all of them, they wanted to get Omega and get her DNA and have her killed.
But that's what I mean, barring, you know, outside of, but that's not really the business side of things, right?
Yeah.
Like they're maybe from a business perspective, they just kind of are going to operate above board and, you know, be really honest about everything. It's not what they're doing is terrible. It obviously is horrible, but they're the means by which they're doing it maybe is just something that they put a lot of confidence in and have a lot of pride in. And maybe they go to great lengths not to create enemies that are specifically against them. Yeah. You know, I don't know. But it's always somebody else doing the aggression, you know.
I did like the line, you know, we need scientists, not a politician.
Yeah, right.
And then, you know, the clones are in there and the door closes.
Sure. Right.
I thought that was kind of a cool line there.
We don't need politicians anymore. It's a dictatorship. Yeah.
That's right.
Right. Except we don't need a politician. We just need scientists.
Except they're not clones. And we'll get to this in the next arc, the next couple episodes here. They are CT units. CT 411. Status report from the original episode 4 after the Luke and Han take over those stormtroopers. They are referred to, their call signs are CT and then a number. They are CT troopers. So we are at the point of CT troopers. Hmm. And that is the point that carries forward all the way to the original trilogy. This whole transition of the Bad Batch to these new troopers is explained, right? Not the Bad Batch, the clones to the new type of troopers is fully realized, or at least mostly realized at the end of this. Obviously, their helmets look different. And I read that those helmets are based on maybe the original design of stormtroopers, or the original design of clones that wasn't used, basically. They used it. They used it just kind of as an homage here, as sort of an in between clone helmet and stormtrooper helmet. So I thought that was kind of cool. But yeah, I really that CT. reference, I thought was really cool, and I didn't notice the connection either. That was another one that I kind of, you know, somebody else turned me on to, but I thought as soon as I realized it was just pretty cool to realize that. There it is. We came all the way through and saw that transition. Everything we wanted to see in the prequels, you know, it's like that's what the Clone Wars gave us. That's what this gave us. And then in this episode itself, there were TIE fighters, right?
Yeah.
They were almost TIE fighters. They sounded like TIE fighters. They flew like TIE fighters. They looked different, right? It didn't have that circle thing with the cool, you know, the cool window to look through. But those fighters that tried to destroy the Bad Batch there were basically, you know,
the intermediary phase.
Almost TIE fighters. Yeah. Right.
Yep.
So I like this episode a lot more. It also is basically an episode that sets up what happens in the next arc. Go ahead.
Yeah, just on this episode, maybe I just missed it. What was the overall purpose behind Rex wanting that other guy to be freed, like to actually get him out of there? I never really understood his true importance other than
It's just that he was a deserter and Rex
he reached out to Rex.
Right. And so Rex is like, well, I'm busy. I can't do it, but maybe I can get you some help, you know?
Well, and they wanted to know, didn't they? They wanted to know why. And Rex was like, gotta go.
Yeah. You
know? I don't remember.
they just sort of left it on a cliffhanger. I don't remember ever really being explained what his importance was.
Or something, right? I mean, so.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
Not sure. Good question. Maybe we'll get an answer, but I doubt it. I think that's probably all the answer we're going to get on that. All right, so this next episode, actually the next two episodes go together. And I think serve as a continuation here because we have Hunter captured at the end of the last episode. And that becomes, his calm becomes a beacon to lure the Bad Batch into a trap. They obviously kind of know it's a trap, but they're going to go after Hunter anyway, as Crosshair, you know, knows. He knows they will. He knows they'll go after him. They land on this secret place outside the city that Omega knows about. Kind of cool. They have to get super close to the ocean, and then this platform raises up, and they've got a little passageway into her scientist friend's secret lab or whatever. I don't know, something like that. They all go in to confront Crosshair, but Omega is again told to stay back. It's too dangerous. Wait for us. Basically, when they show up and face Crosshair, he tries to convince them to join the Empire. So he's not just trying to eliminate him. And apparently he was never really trying to kill them all. He just wants them on his side. He wants to recruit them. And to prove his goodwill, he kills all his backup and is basically like, hey, you guys have got the advantage now, but let me make this case. Hear me out. We need to be a part of the Empire. They're what's giving me greater purpose right now. That's what we're made for. That's what we do. We're soldiers. Let's act like it, right? They end up fighting, and Omega ends up activating the droids in this training room that they're in. maybe goes a little bit overboard and causes quite a bit of chaos. Her intention is just cause chaos so they can escape, but they end up having to basically team up with Crosshair even to fight off these droids because they're so overpowered. Or at least nearly overpowered. And at the end of that fight, Crosshair basically reveals that he hasn't had a chip in his brain for a long time. Pretty big reveal here. And we'll discuss the implications of that. But Hunter ends up stunning Crosshair, and Wrecker picks him up to carry him out under, you know, by Hunter's order. The Empire leaves Kamino, and they start firing down on the Kaminoan facility with the Bad Batch, including Crosshair, still inside on Tarkin's orders to open fire, or fire at will specifically, right? Because that's a homage back to what Tarkin says in I guess episode 4, right? Fire when ready. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Fire when ready, or fire at will, something like that. Fire when ready. I think you're right, John. Anyway, the facility basically sinks to the bottom of the ocean with the Bad Batch inside. And the flooding nearly drowns Crosshair, but Omega saves him. They end up taking the tunnel from their landing platform, and they start to head back out. This big old monster attacks them, though, and so the droid that is with them, who apparently has a relationship with Omega, having worked with her in the lab with the Kaminoan scientist lady, that droid restores the tube defenses momentarily. But it's only enough to fend him off, and then the electric dies again. They fend off this huge monster that's trying to eat him through the tube for some reason. Anyway, they reach a dead end, But they end up taking these airtight medical pods to the surface and just letting the buoyancy forces pull them upward while this little droid guides them up. And I guess CT is the name of the droid. He's probably CT with a number, but they just call him CT. Well, about halfway up, CT runs out of battery and, you know, does the whole, you know, never let go, pushes Omega off while he falls into the ocean.
Yeah.
But then, Omega jumps out of her case thing and goes down to save this droid. And she's trying to swim to the surface, but she runs out of oxygen. And then in a moment of heroism, Crosshair shoots a grappling hook into the water and pulls her and the droid up and then says, that makes us even, basically, right? Because she saved his life and then he saves hers. So anyway, everybody ends up leaving except for Crosshair. He decides he's going to stay, saying, hey, I've made my choice. I'm going to stick with this path that I'm on. He wants to be a part of the Empire. All right. There's a lot to unpack here. I think we kind of already talked about how the droids are deactivated and that only the medical personnel is saved and everybody else is presumably killed. I had a note to discuss that, but we sort of already have. I think the Empire's just, like you said, Drew, trying to cover their traces, make sure nobody else has access to this technology. Yeah, I see y'all both nodding and use it only for themselves, only the essentials, right? They're just cleaning house and trying to, yeah. So anyway, one big reveal that I saw, Omega at one point says that she was present when the clones were created in test tubes, which means that she is substantially older than the Bad Batch, right? As far as clone timelines go, even though she's just a kid, and they appear to be adults, they are all way younger than her, which to me was kind of, I mean, disturbing and funny all at the same time. I think about like early on in the season, especially, and even on into this episode, when they are so protective of her because she's just a kid. It ends up she's the oldest one of the crew. They're all just kids. Right? They've got these accelerated growth hormones and they haven't had time to grow up and have a childhood, you know, but they're trying to send her off and preserve her childhood when they're younger than she is. It was just kind of a flip that was like, whoa, you know, that's really sad that that's the case. It just sort of puts in your face the reality of the clones situation and how used and abused they are. And you know, at their very core. So what did y'all catch on to any of that, or did that stand out to you very much?
Oh yeah. I mean, it was directly called out that she was older.
Yeah.
At one point. And, but to your point, thinking about how young they are, I couldn't help but thinking like, this is really stupid, but like them being mesmerized by like Blippi on YouTube, because they're all just little kids and they've never had their own childhood. Y'all don't know who Blippi is. Cocomelon.
My kids aren't allowed to watch Cocomelon.
I know yours are not, but some like stupid little kid thing. They've never had they had age progression. They didn't necessarily have.
Oh yeah.
Maturity progression.
That's right. What if like a cartoon came on and they all just like, and they're like, in the middle of a mission.
Yeah, they're all just watching. Like,
it'd be a way to defeat the clones. If only the Jedi had known, they could have had cartoons ready. Oh, yeah. Be like, oh, yeah. Look.
It's Barney.
You know? Like, whoa.
What?
That's a deep cut. Do y'all know Booba? I know you do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Booba is the most creepy kid show. Drew, you got to look up Booba. You got to look up Booba and then have some nightmares for a week.
Never mind. Not right now.
No, later.
I know it's that's
like
dumb, but
like a scarier Teletubby.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. But to think that, you know, she was old enough to remember them being created.
Yeah.
In test tubes. They've got to be babies.
Oh, yeah.
Age time. Like in age. Absolutely. Progression, right. Now, of course, they are
like maybe a year or two, right? Maybe created. 3 years or four
and
years.
And I say not
like
really that. Mature, but they, you know, they're probably genetically designed to certain parts of their brains mature quickly, right?
Oh, sure.
They,
yeah.
They study and train and stuff, but.
Right. They've got it down to a literal science. So.
And I don't think that, you know, they probably didn't do that with her. So she's still, it's still okay for her to be more immature, right?
Right, sure.
She doesn't have the age progression, so she probably didn't have necessarily the maturity thing. Now, she's a great strategist. We know that.
Right. And she's yeah. But she's a pure clone of Django, just like Boba is,
right.
Except a female somehow. And a quote-unquote unaltered clone that is a girl. Okay, whatever. And that so her age progression is just normal. It's normal human yeah. age progression.
Right.
So maybe we'll see her in Mandalorian season two.
I actually was thinking, you know, or in the Ahsoka series or yeah, Obi-Wan, right. You know,
absolutely.
She could have a cameo in any of these
sure.
upcoming live actions.
That's right.
That's and if she does, I hope they don't reveal it till like she's in the show for a while. Then you're like, oh, Omega.
You know? Right. Because she'd be younger than Boba Fett. So any iteration where Boba Fett could still be alive, so yeah. could she. So.
Yep.
I mean, because I keep on going back to what you've talked about before, John, of where do these characters actually fit in? You know,
yeah.
is there any real redeeming value to them beyond just these 16 episodes within the larger Star Wars universe? Where do they fit in? And at the end of this, that's sort of what I found myself thinking of. If this is it for Omega, if this is it for the Bad Batch, then, I mean, I guess it was a good ride, but it's... I don't know, yeah. kind of pointless.
Right. Yeah, I think there's at least a Bad Batch season two, though. There's a Bad Batch season two that's supposed to come out. Yeah, I don't know when, but...
So I was thinking, this, like, did we do this whole series just to explain that they got the cloning technology from Kaminoans, right? Like,
well, but it was more than that, because I think, and I think we can transition into this if y'all are ready to, when Crosshair says... my chip has been removed. I think that along with the previous episode to these two, where you have the deserter clone, I think this series, one really good thing that it's done is it's given us a lot of good information about the nature of clones. And up until literally these four episodes, three episodes, the first one wasn't really relevant to it, but up until these three episodes, I have doubled down on believing that the clones have no control. Right, we've talked about it on this very podcast. That once the inhibitor chip gets set, the clones lose all personal ability to make moral choices, and they're not responsible for their actions. This seems to indicate the other side of things, right? We have some random reg that's a deserter clone, and we've got several that, and I guess you know happened in previous episodes. The previous episode too, when we had what was the guy's name? You remember where he convinced all his little troop, or about half of his little troop, to throw down their shields and not fight. We assume, well, maybe it's because there's no Jedi, or who knows. But I think they're continuing to challenge us to ask that question, especially with Crosshair as a you know an example here. But I'm curious: did you believe Crosshair? Do you think his chip really was removed? First of all, and if it was removed, was it removed before Order 66 or after Order 66? What do you guys think?
I'll go first because I'm sure John will.
We don't know. I mean, we're just going to speculate here because we don't know. I think any of those are possibilities.
I think he's telling the truth because I don't know why he would lie because that just seems like his character.
Yeah, I don't think it would be him lying. I think it would be someone else lying to him, basically saying, "Yeah, we removed your chip," you know. But then maybe they'll scan his brain in season two and be like, "Oh, his chip's still there. He only thought it was removed." You know,
could be a writer. I can already see them doing that. I don't know. I push back slightly on what you say, just because I remember Rex in the Clone Wars and how much he was trying to fight, not trying to kill Ahsoka.
Right.
You know, and it's Rex. We've seen him for how many episodes up to this point, and you could see him like fighting and struggling not to
want to kill her. And so maybe the inhibitor chip somehow is weakening or is weaker. And so I don't know, that's going down probably a different route, but
yeah. Yeah. I get the impression that maybe it wears off for people over time, because I think you look at Wrecker, right? When Wrecker tries to kill Omega,
yeah,
of all people, I think initially when Wrecker's ship goes off, he has no control. Like that's, it's an irresistible urge, but then it must just kind of wear over time. And at some point it transitions into those clones' own choice, right?
Yeah.
You have to decide where you stand. So I think that obviously the inhibitor chip being removed probably helps lessen the effects, the ongoing effects of whatever it's causing. But at the end of the day, morality still can win out for a clone, if they believe what they're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
And I think, go ahead.
It's slightly off that point, but still, I didn't like the reveal.
Okay.
It didn't feel dramatic enough.
Okay.
When you think of Star Wars reveals and stuff, you know,
yeah,
it just wasn't, you know, mine's, and it was almost just like, oh, and then we're kind of mad at you.
Mm.
And then, you know.
Well, he asked him when. He's like, when? And he said, does it matter? And he said, yeah, it matters. You know, it matters to us because it informs us a little bit about the nature of the chip and the order and the clones themselves.
Yeah. Kind of wanted like a Luke. No, that's impossible.
It's impossible. It's not in Hunter's nature, John.
Well, not just from Hunter, from anybody, you know?
Yeah.
I don't, it just didn't feel, I was like, oh, okay. He doesn't have the chip. And
right.
We're moving on.
But you were kind of right, John, there. About,
oh, yeah.
About Crosshair. I mean, because you kept questioning it. I was just like, right. No, obviously he has no control over this, right? And you said, yeah. Well, but we don't really know. We don't know. I don't know what made you think we didn't know about Crosshair, because I just thought it was obvious. So maybe you kind of messed up the shock value by ruining it for us.
Maybe I kind of messed it up. Maybe it would have been more shocking had I not been.
I was pretty shocked.
Right.
And even with your commentary, I was like, dude, whoa.
I kept expecting.
That's a moment.
I guess this whole time.
Really?
And,
that it was really his choice all along. And I did not. I thought, no, that's not the way they're presenting it. This is not Crosshair's fault. He's a victim like everybody else, you know?
Right.
And he wasn't. But I did think it was neat, too, that we kind of got the reveal that never was he really out to kill his team. And did you think he felt justified in his feelings about being betrayed, abandoned, more specifically?
Yeah. I mean, he's so dogmatic about following orders in the sense that, he can't, you know, at least this is how I interpret it. He can't understand why they aren't. He's so ingrained in him to follow orders from his superior that I don't think that he can understand why they aren't.
Yeah. And that's kind of what Tech said, right? Tech was like, hey, it's in his nature. He can't change himself. You know, that's just who he is.
Yeah.
Tech's known him a long time. Tech seemed to be speaking from a perspective of an analysis of his personality
right.
in general, not of the effects of the chip, right?
Mm.
Well, to me, if he did have a chip, it's more of a betrayal to leave him there.
Exactly.
Right.
But that's what they, and, that's and what the they were assuming that, is that it was his chip the whole time.
Right. And so he's still upset about being left there, but then he's like, I had a choice. And then it's like, dude, then don't be upset that we left you.
Well, no, but they left him and he knows that they left him believing that he was a victim to it. Right.
But he wasn't. And so
he wasn't,
it's like,
but they believed he was and they left him anyway. And I actually thought he made a really great point. And I was totally empathizing with him because he's like, you came back for Omega. You came back for Hunter. You came back for everybody, but you didn't come back for me. Right. And if I was really a victim, like you thought, then you should have, like, what the heck, guys, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a difference when it comes to being pointed at you.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. It's not, I'm not saying it's the same, but I just could empathize
and
with
so,
his feelings of betrayal.
Again, he killed all those innocent people.
Yeah. I assume. I mean, we
killed that other guy for disobeying orders, right? Yeah.
Right.
And so, I mean,
I'm not even 100% sure his chip was removed before Order 66.
Right.
Because remember, Order 66, there's still like some tension, and he kind of wants the rest of the team to go along with him, but they're not. And he's kind of waiting on Hunter for a lot of that, right? It's not like he just says, no, I can't do that, and you guys are all going to die. It's like he's kind of playing it cool for a little while. I think he may have known about and removed his chip prior to Order 66 even somehow. So
I don't know. Well, because, you know, they do take him back. They're like, where's the one that whatever? I don't remember. It's early in the episode.
You're right.
They take him back and they're like scanning his head. And that's when I'm thinking maybe they took it out then to see if he was truly going to be loyal.
Oh, you're right.
The Empire, sort of using him as an experiment.
Right. So maybe that's when it was, all right, let's remove this chip and see if he stays loyal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Because again, they're trying to move away from clones to a you know, a CT iteration of what they're doing.
Right.
So, yeah. I was really fascinated by all of it. I thought the payoff, the emotional payoffs were really great. I loved these two episodes. I thought they were really, really, really okay.
So I don't know if he makes a great Frodo anymore. I think he's gonna be like, dude,
you know, it is what it is.
We got more to gain.
I thought you would think he would make it even better, Frodo, because it's not the inhibitor chip. It's him saying soldiers follow orders, right? Good soldiers follow orders. Like that is just his intrinsic mindset. And that's why you picked him.
No, not really. I picked him because he was most likely to destroy the ring, because he's going to follow the order to destroy the ring.
And you don't
now,
think that's true anymore.
I'm thinking now he's going to find more purpose in wearing the ring and joining Sauron in his domination of Middle Earth.
Okay.
So
it's a risk we'll take.
We'll see what happens. Yes, we'll
it's
won.
Too late now.
It's too late now. Just have to be watching the fabric of reality and seeing if it begins.
Maybe Spider-Maw will get him.
Great in our own reality.
Yeah. Maybe, there you go. Maybe Spider-Maw will save the day.
Okay. As cool as Crosshair is, I don't think he stands much of a chance against our three. Maybe in joining them. See, that would be the only way he could really disrupt the plans. So, however, at the end of that episode, you saw the conflict on his face, right? Like, even though he was making this decision, even though he stayed with the Empire, he was conflicted. But I think that also brings up a broader question. If clones at some point are just making the choice to follow the Empire, that's kind of disturbing too. And I guess that's true of any stormtrooper or anybody who joins the Empire. You know, if it's hard to process that to me. It's hard to process how somebody could be aligned to such a corrupt organization, but it gives him purpose, right? It gives him a sense of purpose. It gives him a sense of belonging. It gives him a sense of something greater than himself. And I think that happens in the world today. People all the time fight for corrupt powers, right? So it's sort of a commentary on humanity there. Yeah.
Yet millions of people do it, right?
There's people that are killing and doing atrocious things right now all over the world. It's all over the news right now. And how can people do that?
Following orders.
Can somebody, they're following orders. And they bought into this narrative that they're, you know, that their leaders are promoting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what by whatever means necessary, right? So, and then they take it too far and engage in evil, atrocious, horrible things in service of this greater ideology that's basically justifying all means to arrive at the ultimate goal. I don't know. Again, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around it. I'm sure there's elements of that in my own life as well, though. Where, you know, it's part of our humanity is wanting to belong to something and having to grasp a sense of morality to overcome, you know, our inclination to engage in terrible things for the sake of something greater than ourselves. So deep.
Real deep.
Bad Batch got just deep.
Just a cartoon.
All right. Were you satisfied with the conclusion to our team? Where the journey that the Bad Batch has been on, and where this is, where we've arrived with him. Are you satisfied with the journey and the conclusion that's been brought to these characters?
I am not.
Okay. Why not, John?
I feel like this could have been a 4-episode arc.
Okay.
And gotten the same meaning out of it. When you put that much effort into this, I wanted a, and again, if there's a season 2, I still don't feel there was enough, like was already pointed out by Drew, there wasn't enough, this is how this fits into the broad, I think you said it, maybe it was you, Cliff.
Yeah,
this,
well, I was going to ask that broader follow-up Star Wars, as well, right? Because we do get some connections, right? We get the destruction of Kamino, and the transition from clones to TK troopers, but that's not enough.
Right. I mean, and that's because I agree with John and what he said. The thing for me that we have talked about the clones, I did appreciate that from this series. The other thing is sort of the backdrop and the foundation of the Empire that we see here, because we didn't get that in the Clone Wars.
Right.
And then when you look at episode 4, it's there already. So I enjoyed the small steps that you can see building up to, you know, the transition period. I really do appreciate that from these episodes. Yeah. But that wasn't, I mean, like John said, you could do that in a couple of episodes, not 16.
Yeah, I think 16 is way too many. And there was so much filler and emptiness in this series. Yeah. But I don't think 2 or even 4 would do it either. I think there's a middle ground somewhere in between where you need to really explore these themes and fully flesh this out without feeling like you're rushing through it. Because even with the Clone Wars, when we were watching the Clone Wars, some arcs that I really liked felt so rushed. It was just like, all right, that was such a cool concept, but we only dealt with it for 5 minutes and then we're done with it, you know? And I feel like fleshing it out and taking your time, but to make every moment meaningful matters as well, and not wasting my time. You know, I mean, we put off Rebels for a few weeks for this, and right. I think I would have rather been into Rebels, you know, by now, rather than having to just sort of trudge through these little side plots that have no real purpose. And don't even really develop the kid. It's not even like they were developing the characters most of the time and making it more meaningful. It was just like, here's some random thing we can do with them, you know?
Yeah.
And some cool cameo we'll throw in to try to justify it with. And it didn't work for me. That said, I thought this was an incredibly good payoff at the end of this episode. I like the Bad Batch. I wouldn't say I love them, but I like them now. And I will be looking forward, maybe not excited, but looking forward to continuing to stay with these characters for a little bit and see where their stories take. So
I will also say I remember when we first started watching it, I was really excited. I was like, oh, this is Clone Wars again.
Yeah. Right?
And it was almost like, oh, good. You know, I'm watching Clone Wars. This is so cool.
Right. Yeah.
But that only lasted.
Yeah. Without the Jedi,
our first
podcast, Anakin and Obi-Wan showing up, and right, yeah, had those lightsabers and that. Again, the Clone Wars, for the most part, obviously there was a lot of filler in the Clone Wars, but overall, it did always seem to kind of come back to our main people, right, and giving us little tidbits, whether it's developing the relationship between Anakin and Obi-Wan, or giving us some more insight into Grievous or Palpatine, you know, all that stuff was cool. Obviously all the Maul stuff.
We had taken such a break too, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And then it was like Bad Batch. This is Clone Wars. You know, it was that excitement of we're back into this Clone Wars podcast. And then it wore off quickly.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with that.
And had we watched this right after we finished Clone Wars, I don't know that I would have been like, yes, this is, you know,
right. When we it might have been much more wearisome. When's this thing going to end?
We're still dragging on with this. Right.
Yeah, sure.
And so I think having a break, which a lot of people had a break.
Right? Yeah, most people had a break.
That was part of the, what kept me going at the start was.
Sure.
And then it was just, well, we're going to talk about this next week, so I better get it watched.
Yeah. Drew, did you like the characters themselves? Did you like the journey that they went through? Or are you, is the Bad Batch still pretty unimportant to you in your grand scheme of Star Wars fandom?
I liked it. And I like the characters. I mean, I agree with everything you said. I do think they're still unimportant in the grand scheme. Unless something in season two tells me differently.
Sure.
Omega somehow is going to fit in a broader, more important role some way, somehow. I don't know. There's just so many things that they left out that I felt they could have done more with. Like with Rex, we saw the hologram of him rushing away, and that's the last thing we saw of him in Bad Batch. And he was so big in Clone Wars. And so I thought there was a lot of potential because they brought him in they sprinkled him in, so to speak, every now and then to prove up, to further the story, to further some sort of point.
Sure.
And so if they would have done more with that, I could see how, they have a lot of places they can go with this if there's a season two. And
yeah,
I really do hope they do it. I enjoyed the characters. I did enjoy getting to know them more than we did the first arc in Clone Wars.
Right.
But, still it seems like they are pretty much, they're changed a little bit, but they're still, Wrecker's still the strong, goofy character.
Sure.
They still have their trope, so to speak.
Yeah. 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 I think we did see a fair amount of development with Crosshair and even with Hunter. I did really like Hunter's character by the end of it all. He's up there for me. We don't have to rank the clones this week. It's already really, really late, but yeah, I really liked Hunter and Wrecker, and sort of where their stories were brought in particular. I was overall pretty satisfied, at least with the conclusion. I just wish it was shorter, basically. So, any other things you guys want to say about this episode or about the series as a whole?
No.
I'm zooming on my phone, so I don't really have, I don't want to try to check my email because I'm afraid that I'll mess up the call and I just don't want to try it. So if you emailed us, we'll get to it next week. And if you want to email us and you have it, you can send an email to StarWarsBrothersPodcast@gmail.com. There is one thing I wanted to ask you guys. So let's say there was somebody who said, 11 Star Wars movies, that's a lot. I've only got time for a single film. And you said, okay, well, if you can only watch one, this is the one that you should watch. What do you think? You don't have to give an explanation. I'm just curious what you guys think. If you can only pick one, watch by itself. Just fast, and then don't think too hard.
That's tough.
That's very tough.
Well, I know.
I guess
here's the answer. Here's the answer. It's episode one.
That's
because if you've seen one, you've seen them all.
Okay.
StarWarsBrothersPodcast@gmail.com, folks. And thanks for listening.
All right. You've got the jokes.